What's up, fam? Welcome to the first ever Mostly Normal Gamers podcast, where we're live streaming on our Twitch channel, Mostly Normal Gamers. Twitch.tv, is that probably right?
Twitch.tv/mostly normal gamers.
Yeah, there you go. Ask somebody who knows, how about? Like James. That's the voice of one of the most recent observers of the Mario movie, James Halliday. How's it going, James?
It's really good. I mean, I'm sick. I'm sick, so if at any point I start sneezing and like snuffing. That's
what you get for going to a movie theater.
What was I thinking?
clearly you weren't.
No.
Anyway, I'll get through the rigmarole here. Yeah, this is the Mostly Normal Gamers podcast, episode 165. That sounds right. We are recording on Friday, so clearly it's not coming out today. It's the Twins, Minnesota Twins home opener. So I know Mark's excited about that, and I am, and that's about it. And, yeah, so thank you for joining us. James and I are trying out live streaming, so we're getting all this weird stuff put together because I'm not familiar with OBS, so we'll see how it goes. And it should be interesting, but hopefully we'll be doing this regularly going forward. If you want to be part of the conversation or have something you want to weigh in on, hit us up @MNGamersPodcast on Twitter. Or you can email us, podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com. I did find out we have, like, 14 emails.
Like,
oh. Not literally. We have three. We don't need three. But, like, in trying to set up our Twitch, or connect our Twitch to OBS, I finally got there. But they were like, yeah, you didn't provide the right information, so we can't give you access. But then I figured it out eventually on my own. Right. So I don't need you, Twitch, to connect to your service. But yeah, podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com. That's the one you actually want to use to reach us. Or you can message us at 507-291-2991, at which James is again getting threats via in Spanish lately.
Yeah, that was threatening.
Google Voice.
Yeah. I got a Spanish you can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah.
It's like,
which,
oh.
Who knows where that came from?
Yeah.
could be anyone. And I don't know. I think that's it. The substack.mngamers.com if you want to read our newsletter. Chris has put one out pretty recently, I think. So check that out. And if I'm missing something, I apologize. But, you know, that's enough ways to contact us if you want to. So feel free. And James, tell us about the Mario movie, man.
Oh man, it was adequate. No, it was fantastic.
Was it really good?
It was really good. I mean, I can see, and you've seen, like, you've probably seen critic scores on, like, Rotten Tomatoes right now, at, like, when it first came out was all like 50%, not looking good. But going to see it, I can totally understand somebody who's never grown up playing video games or has played a Mario game in their life not enjoying it, because it is literally just Mario in its purest form, with every video game reference, every Mario reference, everything down to, like, things in the backgrounds of scenes, things to, like, sound cues as people are moving through a scene. Like, it's so on point without it being, like, as bad as the Super Mario Super Show, where, like, when they jump, you would hear that, what? And then when they run, you can hear that, as they're running. Like, it's not that bullshit. It is just, like, so on point with, like, the sound cues are really, like, subtle and well done. One of my favorite references is, like, there's a scene where Bowser's got a piano in the scene, and on the piano, it says Ludwig von Koopa, which is the name of a Koopaling, which is, like, his kid. And that Koopa was named clearly after Beethoven. And it's just really cool that they have that sort of, like, homage to that character on a piano, which is a reference to what that character is named after. It's just so much fun. And it's, of course, Peach is not the damsel in distress, but she is a powerful force in that movie, and she's got so much spunk. She's very much a Daisy character. If you played any of the Mario sports games, Daisy is always like the athletic, aggressive one compared to Peach. But yeah, no, it was good though, and it's like Mario saving his brother and teaming up with Donkey Kong at times, and like it was just so much fun. Only complaint, and I do have a complaint. My only complaint, actually I have two complaints, but the second one's more of a joke complaint. My only complaint is, it does seem to be rushed. Like, and it's not like inherently bad, it's just it does seem like, here's this moment, now we're going here, and now we're going here, and now we're going here, and they don't really let you settle. It's a lot of like action build up, which is like a Mario game in some regards, but the idea that like you don't slow down to really enjoy a setting that much is I could imagine being quite jarring for somebody who's not familiar with these worlds and these environments and stuff like that and these characters.
Yeah, I'm sure they had to make it okay for kids, because you know, like, kids only have a pretty short attention span as is, and I'm sure that was part of it. But I think, like, we were talking about it when we were trying to figure this out the other day about the runtime, and I just saw it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah,
which is really short. I feel like modern movies are like 2 hours at least these days.
I'll tell you, there's not a wasted minute in it. Like, it's every moment is worth watching, and that's, I think, something to say for its runtime. I think they could have made it a little bit longer and just slowed down at a few parts, but I don't think it inherently ruined the film. And the only other complaint was Seth Rogen. It was literally just Seth Rogen. So it's just Donkey Kong with Seth Rogen's voice. And they even have the Seth Rogen laugh, which is like, like, I don't know, like, give me a Donkey Kong laugh at the very least, not the of Seth Rogen, right?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot he was playing Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Jack Black, like, just in the previews, did a fantastic job of
playing. Easily the best part. Jack Black's Bowser is the best part of that whole movie. But yeah, no, it's a good movie. I strongly recommend anybody who's enjoyed Mario growing up, go and check it out. You don't have to go see it in theaters, but I do recommend the film.
My wife and I were going to take Guy to go see it, yes. And then there was a shooting at the theater that he was going to,
Jesus.
That we were going to go see it at, or not at necessarily at the theater, but at the mall in which the theater exists. So,
yeah.
I don't know if we're going to go do that now. We might just wait. And he doesn't really like movies anyway, so.
What?
But yeah, just another modern. Yeah, man, I'm sure I've brought this up before, but this kid refuses to watch movies. I don't, like, he doesn't like them.
Yeah, weird.
I don't think he likes the fact that there's an antagonist in every movie. Like, there's always somebody to
be a bad guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe get him watching some Hayao Miyazaki films. Because those are notoriously non, and he doesn't typically have an antagonist in his stories. Like Totoro, there's no antagonist. It's just a story about children experiencing a faction of life that there's no bad guy in it, right?
Interesting. I have at least two of those movies.
Ponyo is another really good one at that age. I know my oldest was obsessed with Ponyo. I'm trying to think of the other one. Like Poco Rosso kind of got an antagonist, and it's more adult for sure.
I have My Neighbor Totoro.
Yes, that's a classic. Gotta watch that one.
And I have Spirited Away, which is really good because I've heard a lot of my Hmong friends, like, Spirited Away is really speaks to them and their spirituality, I think.
Yeah, no, it's Spirited Away is fantastic. It's just not, I wouldn't introduce it. I think I would wait till they're like preteen or teen.
Let's not start with that one.
Yeah, don't start with that one. It's really good. I would suggest you watching it. But it's got some I don't know. I find it a little bit... You need to be a little bit older to appreciate it, I think.
Fair enough.
Maybe he'd like it for the kooky characters, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, maybe I'll try that My Neighbor Totoro.
Yes. Totoro. See what he thinks. Totoro's eight-year children's film.
I appreciate the suggestion. Yeah, what else do we talk about on this show?
Video games?
Oh, video games. Yeah. What do you... do you want to talk about Resident Evil 4, man?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's so fucking good, dude. It is so good.
I mean, it's all right as far as Resident Evil's
go. It's so good, dude. Oh, my gosh. I know you're just kidding, but, like...
I know.
Yeah, every time I... Like, I don't know, man. I've played that game so many times, the original.
Yeah.
And I just can't get over... How much I forget. I feel like in my head, the game is like the village, and then the game is over.
Oh, my God.
And then I forget how much more there is in it.
Yeah.
And it's not like the last time I played it was like a decade ago. The last time I played it was on my Switch, like within the last 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So I guess, I mean, it's still a little while, but not that long. And
yeah.
I had totally forgotten, like, it's hard for me to discern what's new and what isn't, but... Not that hard. Like you had mentioned, and there are going to be some spoilers, not like huge spoilers. And also it's a remake of a game that's been out for 20 freaking years. So get over it, I guess. Like, but the lake is like opened up.
Oh, I love the addition of that.
Dude, the shooting gallery and the charms on the attaché cases.
Yeah.
That is like great idea. My only complaint is like, I just got to the castle.
Fuck.
And I can't get, like, is the shooting range only available in the lake?
No. It's every, like,
I'll get
I would say
one.
Every four merchant locations. Yes. There's a...
Oh, okay.
There's a shooting gallery. You will hit enough to satiate yourself. Don't worry about it.
Good.
Can I just... I hate the castle so much. They made it better. It's better. In the original, I just hate it. It was my least interested, like, area I wanted to be in. I did not want to play that area. But, they've made it better. It's more tolerable. But, yeah, it's just, like, it drives me nuts.
Dude,
I can't stand it.
The dude that you have to, like, hide from that can't see you for certain reasons
yes.
in the castle... Is that in the original?
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You,
And then do you fight Mendez in the original?
Yeah. You fight... He turns into the centipede guy.
That's what I thought, but he's way more... He appears more frequently
yes.
in this one.
He
I
definitely...
Like in the first one...
They made him a character where he was more of like just a... you're a bad guy. The big cheese. And then...
Yeah.
And then, like, later you fight him. And that was it.
Yeah. But here he's like an actual adversary, and you face him a few times, like the one in the Nemesis in 3.
Yeah.
Where it's basically pointless to do anything to him, and you just kind of have to, like, try to run around. I still hate escort missions, man, and this isn't even an escort mission. I forgot, again, how long you have to drag Ashley around with you to... through this game.
People underestimate the fact that this game is mostly an escort mission game.
Which they do a good job for how horrible escort missions are.
So I think there's, I agree that a lot of escort missions suck, but I think there's a way to do escort missions right, and I think that for the most part, Resident Evil 4 does escort missions right. I think that. What is that game by, it's Team Ico? That game is an escort mission, like, from start to finish. And it is really well done and really enjoyable. And I think that, so you can do it right. You just have to know how to make it. Like, I think that escort missions become unbearable when, like, you just... I don't know. They throw so much at you and then send, like, one little thing while you're distracted to, like, screw you over. I think that's what drives me nuts. There's a one problem I have found in Resident Evil 4 remake is that enemies tend to spawn when you don't look in that area. So, and I'm not 100% sure how this works. I think there are some rules to it, but they do tend to appear out of nowhere in rooms that there's no way you could have gotten in there, but now you're in this room with me. And it drives me nuts because, like, I've had them, like, just grab Ashley while I'm, like, I've cornered myself in an angle so I can just guard this one area, the chokehold, and then you're grabbing Ashley and walking past me? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I've had that happen a couple times, man. It is kind of frustrating. But there's also those tasks that you can pick up.
Mm-hmm.
To get spinels and then use the spinels to trade in for something, which is freaking sweet. And I can already tell I'm just going to play the shit, like, just play over. That's what I did on the PS2. Wait, PS2 version? Yeah. It came out on PS2, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did.
Or GameCube, I guess it was
probably. GameCube originally was. Came out on.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then months PS2 later, they brought it over to PS2.
I'm pretty sure I played it on GameCube, but I played it. I mean, it was just. And I can tell I'm going to do it this time. Like, you play it, and then you finish it, and you immediately start over again. Mm-hmm. Because you have to upgrade what you have. Like, usually the weapons that you have, you keep, and you can go into the next round, like, with those weapons upgraded the way they are. And you just dominate, and it's so much more fun.
So, the first area, the part that's, like, part of the chainsaw demo, that first village fight, the iconic moment where, like, you're just, like, all you got is, like, a pistol and maybe a shotgun if you found it. So you fight them for a while. You just have to last long enough until the church bells ring. So a buddy of mine told me, he's like, I heard a rumor that you can shoot the church bell from the village and end the fight immediately. So on my second playthrough on professional, I had the rifle, right, like, with the scope. And I was like, I'm going to try this. Sure enough, just run in, get on top of that one building just so I could get, like, a high vantage point, aim through the trees, saw the bell, shot it, ding, ding, ding. Sure enough, they all left. Like, not even 15 seconds into the fight.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah, man. So it's that totally so cool. A shot you can make. I don't know if you can make it with the pistol, but... It is. I love that little acknowledgement, that subtle little detail. And if they've got more of that throughout the game, I'll be just absolutely stoked.
Yeah, and I when does the Star Wars game come out? Is that 420?
I want to say it's the 27th, but maybe you're.
Oh, okay. Right.
It is.
I'll be out of town on 20th anyway. But okay. I'm just hoping I can get through this at least a couple times before that game drops.
Gotcha.
It is frustrating just constantly have, like, trying to jump. Because I felt the same way with Hogwarts Legacy. Like, I would love to go back and play that one. And now, so given what you've played thus far this year, does this usurp Metroid Prime Remastered for your GOTY?
I don't know. I think part of it is the fact that I still love that game so much that I don't know if... I think if I had to choose between Metroid Prime Remaster or just Metroid Prime and Resident Evil 4, I'd choose Metroid Prime every time. And I think that's just because I prefer that game as a whole over... Resident Evil 4 as a whole. And I'm going to be honest, Resident Evil 4 is not my favorite Resident Evil. It's not even close. Like it's maybe like my third or like fifth favorite. Like it's
really,
I really like it, but I do not hold it in high regards as I hold like Resident Evil 1, right? Like Resident Evil 1, the remastered version that came out on GameCube, I think is like a perfect version. And the updated versions that they've since released on modern consoles is just like the perfect way to play that game. And I get it. It's old. It's got tank controls. People don't like that. I totally understand that. But I think that's part of the experience of that game and why it's so scary. It's because of the lack of control. The lack of, like, I can't see things. It plays like a B film, right? Like a B horror movie. And I love that so much and I feel like Resident Evil 4 turns it into an action movie less than a horror movie. Like, how many times were you actively scared playing Resident Evil 4?
Not often, and that's why I like it. I think that's why because I don't like being scared. I mean, I wish I liked being scared more than I do. Like, I've probably mentioned this before, but, like, I avoid horror movies and stuff, but I love them if I can watch them, and, like, but they disrupt my sleep for, like, a couple days, and it disturbs me. So I try to steer clear of them, and what I like about Resident Evil 4 is it doesn't do that. Like, it's very, there are some jump scares and some horror, like, that dude who chases you around in the castle, I mean, that's pretty fucking scary if you ask me, but it's not like, you know, it's not like Outlast or whatever, where it's not super survival horror, you know, where like palms are sweating to get to the next save point. I like that.
And that's fine. And that's why I think it's more universally liked than the originals. I think the originals were more of a niche thing. They weren't niche. They sold millions of copies, right? But like, it appealed to a wider audience, and that's why Resident Evil 4 sold better and was more liked, because a lot more people that never played a Resident Evil game were playing Resident Evil 4 and loving it. And for me, Resident Evil 4 was my fifth Resident Evil game, and it was new and exciting, and it was a change of pace, but it wasn't I still wouldn't put it above Resident Evil 1. I think Code Veronica at some points is still better than 4. In my personal preference. I don't think it's a better game as a whole. I think it's just that's more in tune to what I would prefer. And so I love it, but I think I would still pick Metroid Prime as my game of the year over.
I think you're a crazy person.
And that's fine, because I'm often known as being a little out of touch. I prefer the original Fallout games to Fallout 3.
Oh yeah,
Fallout 3 is hot.
You have
hot
garbage. You have all around horrible opinions about video games.
I like Carnov on NES.
Yeah, dude. What else do I want to say about Resident Evil? It's just it's like the original except better. I can't get over how good they are at remaking these games into being the same but different in really special ways that make them feel like a brand new experience. And I think that's really cool.
It gives you the ability to play this game, the game you love, for the first time again.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, man. That's exactly like what I mean, because it feels like the first time I'm playing it again. Like, it's as special, and I want to keep playing it, except for it is a horror game, so, like, I still, even though it's not super scary, I can play it for, like, probably, like, an hour and a half most times, and then I hit a couple points where I'm, like, get my blood pumping, so then I'm like, all right, maybe I ought to take a break.
Yeah.
But, it's fantastic, man. I would highly recommend even if you have played it before. It's just the stuff that they've integrated to it, like trading in the spinels for like upgrades, and not only upgrades but like map treasure maps and that kind of thing. Oh, Vivi, so cute.
You're on TV, Vivi.
What? He stopped for a second there. Yeah, it's fantastic, man. I can't speak highly enough about it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else left to say. You can speak to, because did you start it over again? Are you on?
I did. I'm on professional mode now, and I stopped at the. So professional mode, that what they've done is they take out the, you don't get the autosave. So it's a lot more stressful.
But it's and only like, between to get save points. Do you have ribbons or anything or?
No. But like, here's the thing. In order to get a good grade in professional, you need to, like, I think you maximum save 13 times in 16 chapters.
Yeah.
So, it's getting dicey, and I'm at the part where you have to fight the creature in the lake.
Yeah.
And
Del Lago.
Las Plagas. Lagos, not Las Plagas, is what everybody is, but and it's basically like, I don't know if it's like harder or something like that, but I've done like the whole chapter 3 times and died in the lake, and I'm just like, why, how is this monster beating me every time? And it's just like the weirdest, like it must be a difficulty increase.
Yeah,
because I feel like I beat that monster with getting hit once the first time through, and this time I'm getting just knocked into everything. I'm getting hit. I'm just like, what is going on? Like, I was out of the way, or I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating, and so I've taken a break and I started playing a different game because, you know, sometimes you just need a distance and then you come back at it, right?
So,
but
you are aware that you can increase your overall max health with red, green, and yellow herb, right?
What?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I thought I seriously like hit you on that one. I was like, oh man, no way you didn't know that.
I just beat the game with like the smallest amount of health the whole game.
But it doesn't explain that, right?
No, it doesn't.
I feel like if you didn't know that, you would have to. Yeah, it just reoccurred to me like halfway through.
If you read the yellow herb, it tells you.
Oh, does it tell you?
I think so, but I mean, like, how many people are like slowing down to actually read through all their items in their inventory?
I wonder how many people are just like not aware that you can do that.
A lot of people never played the first one.
I'll probably just play through it on normal until I get all the stuff like upgraded to the point where I want it to be, and then I'll play through on professional.
I think that's the way to do it. I think I made a mistake. Although if you beat it on professional and get an A rank, you get, I think, Ashley's armor, which is like, that'll be a lifesaver to get better grades.
What is her armor imagine? Look like?
It's a suit of armor. It's
just
I'm pretty sure the first game had it too.
Did it?
But she wears a suit of armor, and it like literally protects her from like various attacks and stuff like that. It has physical actual properties to it.
Yeah, I do wish you could give her a gun or something. I'm sure that would be like much harder to program, obviously. But like Luis, oh man, that the part where you're trapped in that cabin and they're attacking you, and then they come in from upstairs. That shit sucks, dude. That was hard.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It drove me nuts.
But like,
Oh,
great.
Oh, he is so much better than the original.
Yeah.
Like his character.
Yeah.
I love him. Like he's like easily one of my favorite characters from it. And I did not care for him at all. And the fact that like they draw him out longer in this game, like he lives longer, and you know he's gonna die, and you're just like, oh no, don't, not now.
Oh, I forgot
he's dies. Got like, sorry.
Oh, it's okay, dude. Like, I'll probably forget by the time I get there anyway. And like, that's the thing about Resident Evil games. Like, it's just like a B horror movie or C horror movie. Like, I don't know that I really care enough about any of the characters to where if they die, like, I'm upset about
Choked.
It. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You are almost a Jill sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Dude,
it's just these terrible lines. Even Leon, they got rid of some of his, like, corn. Like, he was super fucking corny in the first one. But, like, he's a lot better this time around, I think.
I think the jokes are better. Like, it's still corny, but, like, Luis calls him after they get onto the like castle grounds or whatever, and they raise the bridge. And Luis says something about, I can't remember what he says, but what's your character's name again? You just said it.
Leon.
Sorry. Leon Kennedy says, well, we were going to leave, but Ashley wanted to see the castle, and I wasn't going to say no. I was like, I just like how he, like, in these, like, these horrifying things are happening all around you, and they, like, just don't seem fazed by it really at all. Even when you're around the castle and you're shooting those blue tokens down, like, Ashley's complimenting you. She's like, oh, nice shot.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like you're getting catapulted from all over, but
I don't know if Louis starts like talking about it, but like eventually like he starts just going heavy into the Don Quixote like references, and I absolutely am all for it.
Yeah.
Like it's just every second line out of his mouth is a Don Quixote reference.
Don Quixote is a big deal in Spain. When I was there, like in the early 2000s or mid 2000s, whatever, like I feel like every excursion we went to had something to do with Don Quixote.
Oh man, it's one of my, like, I love that musical too. Like Mano La Mancha.
I don't know.
I am Don Quixote. I am the man.
I'm gonna have to watch it now, dude. Because I think the place that the area that we stayed in was called Castilla La Mancha or something like that.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I also love the story as a whole. Like the idea of like just this sort of like this desire to go back to chivalry and reclaim like create like just I don't know like that sort of like. He's a man who's like sort of losing his mind, and he's an older man losing his, like he's going through some shit, and he just wishes that he could have been a better person. So he like dedicates himself to like, he has a donkey as his horse, and he's got his like manservant, Sancho, to be his squire, and he's out fighting windmills that he's perceiving as great monsters and saving a whore from like, just basically a bar, and trying to like treat her like she is a princess, a damsel in distress, and she's like, listen, I've been through more shit than you've ever been through in your rich life. Yeah. And it's just, but it's so beautiful. I don't know. It's such a beautiful story. Like I do like the messages in it, and I think Louis having, because he was treated as like a womanizer in the first game, and he's still sort of a womanizer in this game, but it's more of like he's self-aware than the other game. The other game is like he's just so cocky and stuff like that, and this game he seems like he's saying it as like he seems more tortured in this game, and he seems like he's trying to change himself. He wants to be a better version of himself. But he throws out these little asides, like he's like this womanizer and all that sort of stuff. And just I really like how his character has evolved into more than just like a smarmy womanizer who's hitting on Ashley, who's like, what is she, like 16, 17?
No, I think she's supposed to be a college student.
Oh, is she?
Okay. Because like it's kind of like implied that Leon, goddamn, I was gonna call him Leroy.
Leon
are like romantically involved, but because he says something about, oh, when those two chainsaw sisters come at him and he says, I'm a one woman man.
Oh, I don't think Leon is romantically involved with her.
I think
at
she,
all.
Oh, okay.
I think she has the hots for him, but I mean, what? Leon has the hots for Ada. That's that's where it ends, right?
I kind of forgot
Leon's
about
all butthurt about Ada.
Yeah.
And then, I think because at the end of the first game, the original game, she gives him like this line that is so cringe. And he just, what is it? She's like, they're on like, it's at the end of the game, you've saved her, you're on the way back home, and she's just like, how about a little overtime, Leon, at my place? And he's just like, no. It's just like, shuts her down.
Who, Ashley or Ada?
Ashley to Leon. Oh, go look up the original ending to Resident Evil 4. It's just so like,
actually, I'll just play it on my cringe. Switch after this. Because I'd already have a save on there where I would probably be starting with some pretty great stuff. And it's so much easier when you play through the game with upgraded stuff. You just, like, basically roll through it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. apparently Leon's heart's too broken to accommodate another woman, I suppose. Which, he's... fucking get over it, Leon. That's my advice to you, man.
Yeah.
Carpe diem, bro. Like, the other thing, I don't like that. Maybe they're trying to just stay true to the concept of the original, but speaking of, like, you were talking about Princess Peach not being a damsel in distress in the Mario movie, which I think is very cool because that's, like, historically been her MO in the games, you know? She's like, Mario, help me all the time. I think it would have been cool even in this one. And there are some aspects where, like, the part I was just talking about where Luis and Leon are fighting people in the cabin and trying to escape, like, she's the one that finds your exit. I mean, for the most part, she's just like, Leon's like, get behind me, hide in here, like, I don't know, she just is like kind of there and useless, and I think they could have maybe done something a little bit more of that.
They do a lot more at the end game, and she becomes a lot more her, like, she really evolves near the end of the game, and I think there's a significant switch for her where she starts to, like, it's not like, ew, icky, I don't want to do this. It's, all right, I'll get my hands dirty because this is what I can do for Leon.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, clearly she can't, like, it's not giving her a gun so she can, like, shoot dudes, right?
Right.
But she can do other things and help out. And she seems very, like, she becomes more confident with it and starts, like, referring to her and Leon as a team and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool how she evolves throughout the game. She goes through a character arc of being that damsel early on to start being more of an actual character rather than just a trope.
Yeah. So what else have you been playing?
I started playing Ghostwire Tokyo because I don't know, because I think maybe it was because I was playing a lot of Resident Evil and just wanted that kind of spookiness. And the other aspect is I beat Tango, their other game, Hi-Fi Rush again.
Oh yeah.
And so I was like, I want to, like, what else they did? Oh, they did these horror games. They did the Ghostwire Tokyo previously. So I was like, oh, I'll check out Ghostwire Tokyo. I think I got it for free on PlayStation Plus or whatever. And so I started playing it. And you know what? I was not interested in it at all when it first came out. Like, every trailer I saw, I was like, whatever. It looks okay. And honestly, it is okay. There's nothing... it's just like a generic open world game adventure with, like, your usual, like, collect-a-thon of, like, collectibles and stuff like that and power-ups. But it's just got that Japanese ghost aesthetic that is... It's kind of cool and interesting. And you fight... you track down yokai. I caught a kappa the other day and, like, sucked his energy, life energy. I don't know what you do. You, like, steal their essence or... shit. And then you power up. And I was like, oh, cool. I got him.
Yeah, I remember hearing that game was kind of, like, generically what it was.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of disappointed.
I don't think it's
kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's definitely entertaining me right now. Like I'm not like, oh, this game sucks, I hate it. It's just like, oh, this is a nice little game to play while I'm waiting for other games to come
right
out.
Yeah, I hear you. So, what are you streaming these days?
On Mondays, I've been streaming Breath of the Wild, your favorite Zelda game of all time.
You know, I don't hate it that much. I know people like giving me a hard time about it, which is fine because I deserve it. But I did play like a ridiculous amount of that game, and if there were, you know, if you found me stranded on a desert island with my Switch, I would probably play it again.
Yeah,
and I am kind of looking forward to the next one. Like, I do want to see what they do with it and how it works. Like, because I thought that game was pretty fantastic for the Switch in 2017. We're 6 years removed from that game, man. Like, the Switch is old.
And it's still phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's a Wii U game. It is a Wii U game. Man. It's not even a Switch game. Yeah. People don't realize this.
Yeah. No, I realized
it was
this.
Built for the Wii U.
I angrily traded in my Wii U as soon as I found out they were making a new console for the Zelda game. So I
angrily still have my Wii U.
Yeah, as you should, man. Because that's does the Wii U still play GameCube games, or is it just the Wii that plays GameCube games?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's no. I think it does. I think it does still plays GameCube games.
I need to get one. Mostly because I want to play Wind Waker, but I'll just wait until they actually bring it to me. What did you say you're streaming? Zelda.
Zelda, and then on Wednesdays I've been playing Chia.
Oh yeah, that's right. How is that?
This it is so fucking charming. Absolutely loving it. Like it is. I strongly recommend if you like Breath of the Wild or like that that sort of gameplay style. Of like just this open world exploration collectathon stuff, but you don't like fighting monsters, play Chia because that game is so full of soul and life. It's based on New Caledonia, which is like the islands just to the east of Australia.
Oh, okay.
And it's very like it's just got this charm to it that's just so beautiful. Like this traditional musics they've got, it's created by people from New Caledonia. Like it's not like a bunch of like a white studio is just like, let's just appropriate this culture. It is like true to its own. And it's like, yeah, it just plays like Breath of the Wild with the exception of you can transfer your soul into objects and animals and inhabit them for a time. And it is just so much fun taking over a seagull and flying up across, like over the mountains, and pooping on things, or transforming into a fish and swimming through the ocean in this game. And all you're doing is like searching for different like items,
yeah.
Power ups, like braided leaf things, sculptures, or collecting pearls from the bottom of the ocean, and being a shark for a bit, or a crab and doing little crab jumps, and it is just so charming. It is so friggin' good.
So it's like Animal Crossing or a game like that where you're just kind of going around doing random tasks. Like there's not, is there an end, like is there a goal or a?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You are trying to save your father from an evil dictator.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, and it's there's like the only bad guys in the game are these like little like fabric monsters. But you learn about the culture, you learn about like their like what they do. There's like a musical instrument games, like there's a lot of like little rhythm games in it. And it kinda does like the play the guitar like Last of Us Part II did the guitar playing. Oh, yeah. Except for like you can use it to learn different like four note tunes, like an ocarina and Ocarina of Time or whatever. And, like, you can change the time of day, you can summon animals to you. Like, it's really cool how, like, they incorporate it. And it's just, like, I don't know, I just spend so long just exploring and collecting, and I'm never disappointed. And it's, I cannot stress you, the game is visually beautiful from all of, like, the colors and the lights and the, like, just even going underwater. It's so good.
Cool.
I'm absolutely adoring it.
Yeah, I did see it I think it's one of the games like Stray, where if you have premium or something, like you get it.
You can get it for free.
I've seen a lot of people on Twitter talking about it, and it doesn't look like my jam, because I don't really, those games stress me out more than anything, because I don't know what to do. It's too open-ended. But like,
yeah,
it looks really pretty, and I could definitely see where it would be enticing, for sure.
You can do little flips. Like if you like jump, you hold one of the shoulder buttons and then pull back on the control stick, you will start to spin or do backflips and stuff like that. So my new thing is just like doing as many, like it does nothing for you, but my new thing is to try and like do as many flips as I can or backflips off of something. It's great. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
Totally up my alley.
Nice.
If you want just a relaxing sandbox to play in and collect stuff, play this game.
Cool.
I strongly recommend it.
Yeah, we should, I don't know what I was going to go with there. Kind of like, you said backflips, and I was thinking of Leon's evade when he is getting attacked by the Mendez thing, and he does a backflip, like, over his... Oh, man. It's so,
you can do that against normal dudes.
But it doesn't give you the opportunity very often.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
That would be they could integrate like a better parry system. That would be fantastic. That would make that game even better. But anyway, any other games you wanted to talk about? Otherwise, I do want to talk about this news item that Chris brought up or posted, or somebody posted. I don't know who posted it.
Somebody in posted our thing. It.
I
just got a black screen for Slack, so I'm gonna say, go ahead. Can't find it.
I got it here. It's the successor to the Vita, even though Sony said they weren't doing that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's called, or the project name is the Q Lite, and it'll basically be an extension of the PS5. But it's only using remote play. Like, so you would have to have like a strong internet connection. I wonder if they would be. Do you remember when the what was before the Vita, dude?
PSP?
Yes, thank you. Or maybe it was the Vita also. Yeah, the Vita had you could get a 3G network with AT&T. You could attach it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe they didn't allow it in Canada. I don't know. But
I don't know. I only had the PSP, I bought it to immediately jailbreak it and play every Super Nintendo and Nintendo game on it.
Yeah, I definitely have not done that.
I didn't own a single PSP game.
Yeah, funny story. I had a friend who had one in pharmacy school, a PSP, and he was like, "Dude, I can't get these games to work," because he had taken. Do you remember they were like there was a disc within this little plastic thing.
Oh my god!
And he tore the thing open and tried to put the disc in there like by itself, and I was like, "Dude, you just like ruined the game. I don't know what you're doing."
Yeah.
Anyway.
Why are you in pharmacy school?
Exactly. I don't know, man. I think it does give them an opportunity to do something like they did with the PS Vita, because when they came out with I can't remember what the versions are, but when they came out with the Vita with no disk drive on it, no like UMD, or maybe that was what the PS Vita PSPs were. No, like. Whatever, like you couldn't. It didn't have the disc thingy. You know what I'm saying? The disc slot.
Oh yeah.
So you had to. You could play. You could download games, and you could technically stream. But that was 3G. But now that we have 5G, like I wonder if they would be gunning towards that. Because I could totally see that being worthwhile. Because I hate having I don't mind remote playing from my phone, but like. I don't really take the controller everywhere, and I don't really like using my phone for that kind of thing. It's just like a personal preference.
I use the Backbone controller connector. I don't know if I have.
Yeah, that's what I have.
I don't. I do. It's right in front of me.
Yeah.
I'll use the Backbone, and I'll play games remote. And usually, if somebody else has the TV, it's not. Very often, but I'll mess around with a game. I never really play for extended periods of time. It's usually just to meander, or I'm not doing major action scenes or anything like that throughout the game. I'll just be mucking about or checking off trophies or something like that.
It's still not there yet where you could I could definitely do Hogwarts Legacy and go through and just go check things off, you know, go collect treasures and stuff like that, but I don't think I would be playing through Resident Evil, and that's been my appeal. We're not really there yet from a technology standpoint, but hopefully someday in the near future we will be there, or it's a little bit more reliable, you know.
Or maybe we'll be there with Q Lite.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it's not only the speed of the technology, but also just the amount of information that's being transferred, minimizing the amount of information that's being transferred somehow, either by making it smaller, zipping it and having it unzip very quickly or something like that, you know, or what do you call that? Encoding it some way to make it smaller to transfer. because in reality, if you're transferring that much information, you're wasting a ton of energy, you know what I mean? It's inefficient.
Yeah.
So they got to find a better way to do that. But, says Sony intends to release the device before it debuts a rumored PS5 Pro in late 2024.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah. So in about a year, we'll see this Q-Lite
revealed
or sold. I can't.
Yeah. And Chris or whomever, did you post this or did Chris, I'm guessing?
It was okay. Chris. His name is above the link. That's how you
can tell. Yeah. Derp. I think all of my, computer memory is dedicated to this stream. So, like, everything is running super slowly, which is cool that it's not cutting it out. But thanks to Chris for pulling this at gamedeveloper.com, written by Chris Kerr. So I will look forward to
that. Would you buy?
Fuck yeah, day one.
Handheld PlayStation?
Yeah.
Day one? Interesting.
I mean, unless it's ridiculously expensive. I've
never been on board.
If it's like $500,
so
then probably not. But if it's like
$300. Do you want a PlayStation 5 or a PSP?
Yeah, 2? Exactly. Well, it depends, man. Like, they dropped the ball with the Vita, dude. Like, they did that back sensor thing, which was fucking stupid. And had they just done. It needed a R1, it needed R2 and L2 buttons, and then another analog stick. Had they just done that, then I feel like it would have. People said the games weren't where it's at. Like I think the reason the games weren't there is because people didn't want to develop for the platform because it wasn't like conducive to what they were doing, you know. Why develop a game for a platform? They needed to make it more like the Switch, you know. The Switch is awesome because it contains all the features of like a modern controller, so you can port games like fucking Witcher 3 to it that people want to play on the go, you can also develop like software for that platform as well. So that's what they should have done, and I think that's where they dropped the ball. So hopefully, I mean, if they don't do it this way, then, or if they don't do it like the way that I'm thinking, then no, I won't buy it. If it comes with like an R1 and L2 and you got to use the back touch screen for R2 and L2, like,
oh my goodness,
that shit sucked. You never owned one? Never owned one. So like if you remote play, like I could remote play my PS4, maybe even my PS5, I don't know, but it has a back touch screen, so if you want to use R2 or L2, you have to touch the back screen. But like when I was playing Final Fantasy IX on my Vita, I would hold the device like this, you know, and I would be touching the back screen, and certain things in Final Fantasy IX weren't working, and I had to Google it like and find some fucking subreddit that was talking about it, and it's like, oh yeah, it's probably because you're touching the back screen and it thinks that you're trying to do this all the time rather than this.
Oh my god.
So I played the game for like 2 or 3 hours before I realized that I was doing something janky with it. But
that's crazy.
Anyway,
yeah, so you look at what handhelds do we have nowadays. We have a Switch, which is a whole Nintendo console in itself.
Yeah.
As well as being a handheld, and we have the Steam Deck.
Oh yeah, right? That's right.
And that is a handheld computer. Which both of these machines, phenomenal, and do exactly what they need to do. PlayStation is again coming out of the gate into a environment that has a. They might have they have a misunderstanding of what they need to be. And from the streaming aspect, like, oh, maybe it'll just be all cloud streaming PS5 games or whatever. Like, that's cool. It sounds really cool. But if the tech isn't there, then it's just going to be really stressful for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And if you, like, live in a rural area that doesn't have really good internet, then it might be unplayable to you, right? For the most part, I'm sure that's not a big concern to a lot of people, but...
Or like, if you can't associate it with, like, a mobile plan or something so that you can play it. Because part of the appeal to me would be, like, playing on an airplane or something, or...
Yeah.
They would have to have some... It has to have some sort of original software, right? Like, so that you...
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't have... Or maybe it's geared towards Japan, you know, where there's a better infrastructure of that kind of stuff. So,
handheld gaming is like Japan's like market. Right? Yeah. Like that's why, I mean, it's why like the DS is so, like the DS got revealed the same year the PSP got revealed, right? And when everybody saw the DS, they were like, what is this clunky piece of shit when you look at, like, this sophisticated machine that the PSP was? And the DS was, like, a gimmick. But as soon as people started playing the DS, even though it's on, like, older, outdated hardware, it was implementing a lot of different things that, like, the PSP just wasn't doing. And the PSP was fancier. It cost more. It was more, like... It was just another game, and why do that when I can just play those games on my PlayStation? Whereas the DS had things that only a DS could have, and I think that's what drove those sales. It also had an appeal to people that aren't gamers. So many grandparents were buying DSs for, like,
Brain
puzzle
Age.
Games and stuff like that. Brain Age, which was a phenomenal seller, yeah. Right? Like, even when I got over here to, like to North America... It was selling great, and mostly in people over the age of 65, yeah. Because it was a game that it would start with them like buying the game and playing on like their kids' handhelds, and then needing to buy their own because the kids were complaining yeah. that they were playing their Game Boys or their DS.
There's a Switch version of that game. It's not Brain Age, but it's something like Brain Academy or something like that. I want to get it because Brain Age. I mean, it included puzzles that are. Have been shown to like keep your mind sharp as you age. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea. I don't know. Yeah. Well, shit, man, we've been on it for a while. Do you want to, I found these, my wife got these for me a while ago. They're Geek Gamer. Can you see?
Oh,
Geek Gamer.
Yeah. Trivia cards. Yeah. Well, those are cool.
And so I'm going to ask you at least one or two of these. And see,
I'm down. Let's do it.
It doesn't give you the name of the game here, but hopefully you'll be able to figure. Oh, no, it says, in the highly successful Infamous franchise, you play the role of Cole, but what's his surname? Do you want options?
Oh, yes. Choice. Please give me
A,
options.
A, Bennett, B, Harper, C, McGrath, D, Smith.
What? These are his last names?
Yeah, which one is it?
I loved Infamous 1. I played the shit out of it. I could have told you his name was Cole.
Yeah.
Smith?
It's McGrath.
McGrath. Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely off my radar on that one.
Cover this one up because I want to see if I can get this one. Mario Kart 64 was the first of the series to be rendered in 30. It says rendered in 30. I'm guessing it means frames per second. In the multiplayer battle mode, a player is eliminated when A, their last balloon pops.
Yeah.
B, they get hit by a Koopa shell. C, when they run out of coins. D, when they get hit by a barrier. It's A, isn't it?
That's pops the balloons. Their last balloon. Balloons. Yeah. Yeah. Busting all the balloons.
Okay, we'll do one more.
You get three of them. Yeah.
Okay. In the classic game Pac-Man, if you wanted to eat a ghost for bonus points, you first had to eat what?
Power pellet.
Is that what it is? Damn, dude. Nice work. You killed it. But yeah, I got like 100 of these.
I mean, I killed one question.
Well, you know...
I guess we got the
dude,
second one,
dude, I fucking
one,
hate Pac-Man. We go to this arcade and like... Pac-Man. It's just a terrible game. I don't understand. It's like... I'm trying to get my kid to like play games and it's like, yeah, Pac-Man, man. That's if you want to teach a kid how to fucking hate games, start with Pac-Man.
Pac-Man's not that bad.
Yeah, I think most of the time the machines are so old that it usually doesn't work very well. So, you know,
it up on Google. I'm sure there's a web app.
Oh, yeah, for sure. An emulator that you can just play there. It's super easy. That'll do it for this week, folks. Thanks for joining us. Again, if you want to chime in, podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com, 507-291-2991, @MNGamersPodcast on Twitter. I'm @JohnnySamsonite. Chris is @VGOccasion. Angie's @StellarSmalls. And James, where can the people find you?
You can find me at ButtLordPrimus on all services, except for Twitch, because I'm twitch.tv/BLPEntertainment.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, in the future we'll have to announce when these streams are happening, and I'll figure out how to actually get them to work
correctly. Yeah, I'll give you some tips. I'll take you on a trip.
Yeah, it's exciting, OBS. Man.
Education.
It's the wave of the future, bro. All right. Well, everybody have a happy Easter. Hopefully I get this out before Sunday, but anyway, talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. And our audio?